Fantastic. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are in the world, and welcome to the Year of the Youth Huddle. I'm Helen, I'm one of your co-hosts today. Just quickly to go through the structure, we're going to have a 10-minute Q&A with our two lovely guests, who will be introduced in a second. Then you will have a question posed to you. You'll be redirected to the lounge, where you will have 5 minutes on your tables to discuss the question. And then we'll bring you back in for another 10 minutes so we can sort of discuss your answers with our guests. And then we go on to a second topic of the same sort of structure, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So we hope you have a great time. Please use the chat function if you've got any questions as we go along. But I'm not going to stop talking and let Cedric introduce our wonderful guests.
Perfect. Good morning, everybody. My name is Cedric. I'm also a member of the EHF Youth Panel and one of your co-hosts today. I just wanted to start with a quick introduction, a bit of asking Pasha and Katrina to tell who are they, what do they do, where are you from? Maybe start with Pasha, maybe.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. My name is Pasha Gaydeman. I am a Dutchie, still originally living in the Netherlands, but I'm a coach at Rot-Weiss Köln, a top club in Germany, and for the Field Hockey Canada men's team as well. And yeah, always been passionate about hockey. Very coincidentally, ran into the local hockey club in Almere when I was about six years old through my brother, fell in love with the sport, just got addicted to it, and apparently haven't stopped working in that scene yet.
Similar story for me, Pasha. Hi, everyone. I'm Katrina. I'm currently in Sydney, Australia, and I'm the Australian women's hockey coach. Yeah, I started very young as well, and I'm sure similar to a lot of you, got involved because my family was heavily involved. My older sister played, and that's what I wanted to do. So, yeah, the last good chunk of years has been spent at hockey fields, either playing or now coaching.
Okay, perfect. We would like to start with a question. Because you both are a coach now, like, how would you guys describe your coaching style, and why is that coaching style effective?
Good question. Thank you, Pasha. I'll start then. I suppose my coaching style has, first of all, shifted over time, and certainly the way that I was coached is probably not the way that I coach. And I think that's the first thing to recognize, that the best thing to do as a coach is to be yourself, to be authentic. So that's definitely what I try to be. But it is, I suppose, based then on a relationship with the athletes of what they want to get out of playing in the team. That's absolutely critical to understand that. So getting to know your athletes and building a good relationship in order to understand what drives them, to support them in that, and to know what results and what outcomes that they want, and to help them to achieve that. So probably based on support, understanding, relationships, but also then trying to challenge the athletes to be the best that they can be. I'm obviously a coach in a high performance space, and so getting them to be the best that they can be, and for us to put on the park performances that are the best that we can do, that's certainly what I'm trying to achieve with any team that I coach.
Yeah, nice to hear your opening statement about that, because I think I can, I can relate to that as well. I'm not coaching the same style that I've been coached before. As a matter of fact, I think I've been inspired by the coaches in my own youth, but eventually I took the things that I maybe didn't completely like of them, or thought that I could do better, and I tried to achieve that. I started coaching a seniors team at a relatively young age of 27 in the Hoofdklasse in the Netherlands, and I just if I go back, it's 5-6 years ago now, but I was so directive, and I just had to have control of everything, and everything needed to be the way that I wanted it, and I think it maybe lasted for a year or 1.5 years, and I'm a lot not a lot more, but I'm a bit more chill now, a bit more distance, bit more giving a lot more to the players themselves, trying to let them have control of the performance and also the development that they want. But with that, I still have to combine it with a lot of passion and a lot of one-on-one coaching and just a lot of energy, because that's what I love from sport, doing in sport. So that's something that I'll always keep doing, but a lot less directive than I was a couple of years ago, luckily, especially for my athletes.
Fantastic. And I guess as coaches, you're always developing the same as players. So our next question is sort of, what did you underestimate the most when you came into your role? So what did you maybe not assume would happen, or something was a bit different, and how you adapted to that?
You know, I think, I suppose to extend what we're already talking about, for me, and I'm sure with plenty of the people that are in the chat today, if you're thinking at the moment you are an athlete and then wanting to transition into the coaching space eventually, it might be something that you're not thinking about yet, but as you develop as a player, as you do develop your understanding of the game, it might be something that actually evolves. But I think the challenge for me initially was to prove myself as a coach. And so that was a challenge at the start. An athlete, and you've got to put on your best performance every time, and you're concerned with you and then how you fit in with the team. Obviously, when you're coaching, you've got a broader perspective on that, but you're still trying to prove yourself. And it's not until then you realize that it isn't about you that you can actually then make some real progress. So as an athlete, I can safely say now I was quite selfish, self-absorbed, it was all about me. I was a striker. There's probably plenty of you out there saying, oh, well, all strikers are like that. You have to be like that in order to want to get your name on the scoreboard all the time. That was definitely me. And so I've changed a lot as a person and a lot as a coach. It isn't about me. It is about the players, and that's the getting up every day to want to give the athletes the experiences that I had as an athlete. And in today's world, that's really challenging, because some of those things that you get to do as an elite athlete is to travel the world, is to represent your country, and some of those things are challenging at the moment, and hopefully we can get back to where bit of normalcy and back to regular competition. It being about the athletes is the key to everything.
Yeah, maybe I'll just want to add to that story is that when you're a player, you're already working on the whole package quite a lot. At least I was. I was looking at all the dimensions of what was going on, but I could always step away quite easily. And when you become a coach, I think that's when you really realize how much work there is to lead a team and to lead an environment in that, because your brain is just nonstop functioning about that. So you're just trying to think about all the components and trying to make sure that your athletes have the best environment, after you realize that indeed it's not about you, because that's maybe the point that I made before, Katrina. So I like the way you put that. And then you're just trying to make sure that they have the best environment. Though the thing that I underestimated is how much activity that asks of me and my brain. I thought it would have been a little bit more as an athlete, but as an athlete, you're done with your game. And all you do is you actually look forward to the next training moment, or you reflect a little bit and have a short moment. As a coach, from that last game moment until the next training moment, that's when you're working, and that's when you're working super hard. But for me, that's also the nice part, because you can really set an environment where athletes can perform and can get better and develop. But I underestimated the part of the stepping away. That's something that I'm still needing to learn, to make sure that my brain switches off sometimes as well. That would do me and my relationship some good at times. Yeah.
Okay, great. Now we'll move back to the table, to the lounge, with a question to the audience. What is your preferred coaching style and why? It could be from a player's point of view, could be coaching point of view, umpire point of view, manager point of view, could be any point of view. So have a bit of reflecting about that around your table, and then we'll come back and feedback back to our guests. Okay, perfect. Welcome back, everybody. Now we're just going to discuss a bit what you all discussed earlier around the tables. I see nice comments coming in the chat. Maybe Lalifa Abel Sigasa, if you want to share on screen. Maybe if I can invite you to the stage.
From the Dangerous Darkies.
I'm just going to show this one on stage. So you're saying your coaching side is more of the Katrina's, the personal kind of way. Yeah, and how do you know, how do you get to know your players, I think? Is it a question to Katrina or Pasha? How do you get to know them if you get a new team?
Yeah, which is exactly what happened to me. I got a brand new team. The team wasn't new. I was new. And players that I had known for a long period of time, they weren't athletes that I didn't know or weren't aware of, for starters, but not necessarily all of them had I really had like really good relationships with or even coached them in a team. It might have just been at a camp or something. And so my first task when I took over the role was I took each and every player for a coffee. So it's one of the mistakes that I made when I first started out as a coach, getting to know players. I called them into my office to have a chat. And yeah, that was not the best environment to get to know someone. It's too official, too in your face, and across a desk. That's not the way to get it done. So for each of the players, I took them for a coffee, and we had a chat about them, about their hockey, about where they were at. And so I did have to fast track things a little bit. But then that kind of official start then sets a good base, a good platform. It shows that I'm interested in them as people as well, not just hockey players, and I think that's really important. And so then that led for better casual, informal conversations, and then also provides the basis of trust, of understanding, of a good relationship, so that when you do have to challenge athletes and ask them for more, ask them to do better, asking them to continue to improve and put everything out there for the team, then you're more able to do that. So it was a coffee with each of the athletes.
Well, I didn't even have the choice of inviting them in my office, as I didn't have an office and there to pitch anywhere with my new job. Look, a little bit of my background story is that I became the head coach of the team that I played in for my entire life. So I became the coach of my friends, of everyone that I had a relationship with, of people that I knew from birth on. And at that time, I think it had its challenges because you know everyone so well and they know you so well. So they also know they can calculate the moments when certain kind of emotions come up, maybe. But then what I tried to do is put myself in a different environment. So I went to Germany, worked in a different language, in a different setting where nobody knew me. And then I got the Canada job as well. And it's again in line with Katrina. Sorry that I'm agreeing so much with her. But I think I took the time. I did a walk around the beautiful shores in Vancouver with each of the athletes. And some took an hour, some maybe took 3 hours. I tried to take as much time as I could for everyone at that moment, just to get to know them a little bit better, to know what their drive is, what their ambition is, because I think that you need that personal connection in order to facilitate them to improve themselves, because you might know a little bit of their challenges, not at all times, but you have a better insight in it. And if that's very far away from you, then I think as a coach there might be a disconnection with your player. So for me, it's the fundamental part. It's knowing your athletes, it's knowing the people, and making sure you have a great time with them, right? So I make a lot of jokes with my athletes, maybe at way too many moments as well. But at least with that, I try to create a very safe space that they can always be open and honest towards me as well and towards the teammates as well. And that for me is fundamental in coaching a team like that.
Okay, great. I think Hugo at the Hack agrees it's all about having fun and having games and engaging exercise. So, perfect.
So as a coach, there's sort of, obviously in an international setting, you've got your head coach and then you've got your assistants. But thinking grassroots, and maybe when you first started coaching, did you ever feel like alone? So there's obviously a squad of players in front of you, there's loads of them, and then there's one of you. If you didn't feel alone, how did you feel? And how do you feel now? Have you changed or is it still scary?
I like this question because I think I'm going back to about 10 moments. I think I still have those moments where you feel alone, even though I have fantastic staff around me and people that are so good in their jobs and that help me out. I think as a coach, sometimes it's maybe good to even feel alone a little bit and to reflect a little bit on how you're, and I'm coming back to the word, how you're facilitating things, because I think that nowadays we're shifting more towards facilitating an environment than really giving steering and direction and saying, hey, this is the path, just follow me. But going back and at those times, I think it was a bit more at the times that I was more obsessed with thinking that it was all about me indeed. Like, oh no, I lost this final, or I made the wrong decisions, and you feel very alone. You start to reflect on what you've done. But eventually, I think the power is, of course, that you're always with a team, right? And you're a part of that team as well. And if you can manage that in the right way, then you are never alone. And if you do that with your staff as well, then you're very well supported. But there are moments that you just walk away from it a little bit and that you feel alone, and that being alone is maybe good to reflect on how you've done to see how you can do better. But yeah, I won't go too deep into moments where I felt alone, but I was probably sitting out there on a bench somewhere looking very sad after a lost important match or something.
I think it's a good question. And I'm similar to Pasha in that, especially once you've transitioned from being in a team and being a player to then being a coach, I definitely missed being in a team. I still do. It's a fantastic place to be. I love that hockey is a team sport. It's one of the things that I love most about it. So it's certainly one of the things that I missed, is having actual teammates. But you do want to create that environment that is athletes and staff, that we're a whole of group trying to achieve whatever it is you're trying to achieve. So you're still part of a team, but I also agree in that coaches are people generally who, well, if you win, the team played really well, the players did really well. And if you lose, okay, what did I do wrong? That it's then all of your responsibility to take on board. So there is still that piece in terms of responsibility, and you are trying to lead the whole group. So sometimes that responsibility weighs a little bit heavily, but there are plenty of coaches and all of the head coaches that actually want to take on that responsibility, that's the new challenge. If the challenge as a player is for you to become the best player that you can be, then the challenge for the coach remains the same, which is, I want to become the best coach that I can be for the athletes. So the taking of that responsibility and taking that on, that's what I choose to do as my next challenge. You have a great purpose as an athlete, and so that's the beauty of becoming a coach, when you can no longer run around and do all those things that you wanted to do, that the purpose gets to remain. And so taking on that responsibility is actually fun as well.
Okay, great. You both just see a comment coming up. So it's a question of, how do I get them to play according to best practice in coaching? It's a question for Pasha and Katrina.
Yeah, just let them, you're already answering, let them play, right? I mean, they're kids of 10 years old. What they need to do is they'll have their own mechanisms in order to learn stuff and to make it very individually as well. So I think all you need to do is let them play as much as you can. So find a lot of, if somebody's 10 years old, we're not talking about a high performance environment yet, we're talking about all the things that adds up for maybe 20-year-old international athlete. So just let them play as much as you can and facilitate them with a lot of fun, a lot of competitiveness, but in a very, very nice way. And what I sometimes miss a little bit in Europe or in the Netherlands is that we try to look at how a kid is doing things with a hockey stick and a ball and try to improve what they're doing instead of saying, hey, this is the way you should hold a hockey stick. This is the way you should dribble with a ball and you must do it like this and you must lift like that. Be a bit more creative with it, right? It's a stick, it's a ball. They are the future eventually. The sport isn't going to be the same in 10 years when they are adults playing. It's going to change. It's going to constantly be something that changes. So make sure you facilitate, you know. And beside that, like you guys discussed, at least like Hugo said as well, a lot of games and engaging exercises. That's the way it works for every age. If it's an international level or if it's a youth child, some things don't change at all. So I think you have to keep doing that.
Yeah, I agree. Fun has to be at the core of everything, even when we're talking high performance. I mean, Pasha already mentioned how much humor, how much a role that can play. Having fun and enjoying what you're doing has to be the number one thing. So, yeah, 10, yeah, let's just play and enjoy. And they will learn as they go. They will get the messages eventually of a way of play if that's what you want to bring in. But a reminder maybe that when you're taking over a team that it's helpful to determine what the strengths of that group is. I just saw that in the messages in the chat box on the side. Understanding the strengths of the group of players that you have and playing that to your advantage, that's one way to ensure enjoyment because you're using the good things and rewarding the good things that your team already does, and you're more likely to be successful. It's way more authentic, more fun, and, yeah, playing to a group's strengths, no matter what a book says about hockey, as Pasha says, like what's going to happen in the future? Who knows? Our game has come so far in such a short period of time. Especially when you, I always like to compare it a little bit to football, that, you know, the amount of rule changes, the amount of innovation that we've seen in our sport will only continue. So letting our youth determine what that future looks like, what our game looks like and the skills within it looks like. Hockey's really grey and I love that it's grey. There's no black and white about it, and you guys all have the power and the potential to shape what our sport looks like in the future. That's pretty exciting. That is fun.
Just to clarify, Katrina, when you're talking about football, you have to be more specific because I think that we're talking about a different football in Europe than you are, aren't we?
I know. I wanted to say soccer. That's very Australian of me. But it is football. I do acknowledge that is the world sport. Oh, okay. Yeah. And we have random footballs here. But soccer is the only true football.
You were talking about that one.
Acknowledge. Okay.
Fantastic. So we're going to ask you as the audience another question. So you're going to go back into the lounge, maybe pick a different table, pick someone new. And the question this time, is there one key hockey moment which will stay in your mind for a long time? So what has a coach done that is really going to resonate with you? And that doesn't have to be a really positive experience. It might be a really negative one. Let's put them in the chat, have a share. And we'll come back and maybe ask our speakers some questions about them.
Okay, perfect. Welcome back. I hope you all have discussed your hockey moments with everyone around your table. We just saw some questions popping up in the chat we'd like to ask to our guests. There's a question from Mohammed. I think we need to teach players how to enjoy hockey. how do you teach them, or Pasha and Katrina, how do you think you can teach people or players to enjoy hockey? Because it's about having fun, but how do you motivate them to have fun?
Well, I think that that's something that should be happening in the environment that you create. So it's not necessarily about telling them to have fun or teaching them to have fun. It's the way you go about things. It's the way the group interacts with each other. It's I think it's about the environment that you create. And as a coach, it is on you to make sure that the environment is safe for starters. That all the athletes feel safe in the environment that they're in and supported, and that nothing bad is happening in your environment as well. That's number one. You've got to be across everything. But you can create a fun enjoyment in the way you approach things, the energy that you bring, and the way that you make it okay to have fun, it's okay to make mistakes, for example, as well, that you only learn and get better at things through making mistakes. And that's a good thing to have happen. And so, yeah, I think it's on you to create an environment that makes it fun, not necessarily teach people how to have fun.
Do you want me to answer the same question, or we go to the next question? Because I thought that was a very fulfilling answer already.
Perfect. Yeah. Next one.
Okay, so the next one then. So how do you draw the line between being fired up to motivate players by pointing out the wrongs and being frustrated to the point of bashing out a player's confidence?
You already drew a line right there, right? I think being aware of that is so important. And I think it's just not about you showing your frustrations. I don't think any athlete in any sports has ever said, you know, I got so well because the coach just got frustrated with me for 10 years long and just kept shouting at me. And therefore, I did start enjoying the sport. And now I'm having a very happy life and I'm enjoying every second of playing my sport. So it is, of course, something challenging because we all deal with it sometimes. We're like, hey, we discussed this or we trained this. Why aren't we doing it the way that we agreed we were doing it? But showing your frustration, I think, has very little use. Just make sure that there are other ways to achieve that what you want to achieve. So showing your frustration is probably something that eventually what you want to achieve is see a change, right? And see a different pattern or see a different reaction to the situation as you had. And I think it would be really good for yourself as a coach to reflect on, okay, what are other ways to get that same thing out of the group? And if you look at situations that you've maybe experienced in the past, I think a lot of the situations are not by showing your frustration. Take a second, take a couple of seconds extra to see, okay, is this my frustration or is this something that the group would actually need? Because eventually, I'm searching for the word in English now, but eventually it's not about you. It's about creating an environment that it's about them, right? So if it's just your frustration that you're expressing towards others, then you're on the wrong path. Look at the things that they're doing good. Be critical at moments where you want it, but try to find a different angle towards it. I think that'll be my main point.
Perfect. Is there anything you'd like to add, Katrina? Or
I think Pasha covered it. I do think athletes want and deserve feedback. I think they want to know when they've gone wrong or how they can get better. And there is definitely a way to do that. It's not just we're in a high performance space, so it can't just be, yep, good try. But providing them with the technical, tactical feedback that enables them to go in the right direction is only fair on the athlete as well. They want to get better and they're asking for your help to get better. But as Pasha said, there's a way to get that done. There's a number of ways. But showing them that you believe in them and giving them enough attention, I suppose, to want to spend the time to help them to get better, that you're on a better path rather than getting frustrated and yelling. Yeah, you're much better off in an explaining and having them understand so that you can get them to where you want them to be and where they probably want to be themselves.
Perfect. I think then we move to the last question of this session. The question is, how did you manage dealing with your peers that probably thought they understood the game better than you did?
Yeah, to be honest, I just went to the Olympics with at least two or three players that were older than me, and that sometimes in some elements might understand the game better than me. So I try to use them as much as I can. They have so much knowledge and experience, especially for me coming into, for example, this was me going towards Canada. So there were a couple of players who were playing in the Canadian system for more than 20 years. And my captain was a 34-year-old player who was very experienced. I tried to use him as much as I could. I'm new to that environment and I need to know and gain knowledge about him. Maybe that also adds to a question that Mike asked about, do you coach the Aussie or the Canadian way? Well, I couldn't coach the Canadian way really, because I'm not from the Canadian system. I'm not really Canadian. I've been there once before in my life. So what I tried to do is I tried to use my around me to see, okay, what kind of knowledge do they have and how can they support me and support the team. It's not really about supporting me, but helping me in creating that environment again to create support. And yeah, of course, when you're in the same age category, it can get a little bit tricky at times. You do share the same past and experiences, but from my knowledge is treat them with the respect that you would want to be treated with. And they have so much knowledge. There's so much knowledge in your peer group usually that if you put that aside, you'll probably just create friction. Just use them, be approachable, have a coffee or a walk, or call them in the office if you have one, and see if you can have a talk with them, because if you can use them as your strength, then you'll be a real successful coach.
Yeah, no one has all of the knowledge, do they, Pasha? You know, it's not, as I said, hockey is grey, so you can look at it different ways. And as a coach, staying open to different ideas, to seeing things differently from a different perspective, and adding diversity to everything that you're doing can only make you a better coach. It also means that people are confident to come to you with other suggestions as well, that you're obviously open to those discussions. Then in the end, having heard all of that as the head coach, then you make those decisions about which direction you go, and you convince everyone that that's the right way to go, or this is how we're going together. Yes, that is an option, but we're going to do it this way because of A, B, and C. You should always be able to explain why, how, and what it is that you're doing to take people with you so that they understand what you're trying to achieve as a group, because you can't have one person playing one way and 10 other people doing something else. So you all have to be on the same page in the end, and that's then leadership. But you have to be able to answer all of the questions around why are we doing this. And if you, as an athlete, you get told by a coach to do something a particular way, you should always ask, well, why am I doing this? You have to understand the context and the content of what you're being asked to do so that you can deliver in different situations. And you know, whatever situation comes up, what the person, your teammate next to you, how they're going to respond as well, because you're all on the same page about what you want to do. So it is important to have those discussions in team, in coaching staff, to get to where you want to go and to play the way that you want to play, and to also bring everyone on board with you.
Fantastic. Thank you both so much. Unfortunately, we are out of time. So participants that you'll see at the bottom, there is clapping, there's a heart, I think. So if we could give our lovely speakers and guests lots of love and thanks for their time this morning, this evening, this afternoon, depending where they are in the world. We hope you've really enjoyed it.
I'm quickly going to interrupt you then. First of all, for all the visitors, amazing to see where everybody's from, and I hope that inspires me to see that hockey is so or international, and that guys from every angle of the world are here. But also, Cedric and Helen, thank you for asking really good questions and facilitating this environment and having a very nice conversation. Excellently done. I enjoyed it. So if you're giving love and thumbs up, also give them for Helen and Cedric.
Thank you so much. Cedric, have you got anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you. We just go back into the lounge. We take a 12-minute break, and we'll be back in 12 minutes with two new guests.